This week's parasha, the Chafetz Chaim and others say, is of such tremendous magnitude that it translates the history of Klal Yisrael from the beginning, from its inception at Bias Goel Tzedek. Hasn't it? The Hascholos Hagolos, Mitzrayim was the mother of all Goliyos. Hasn't it? The creation of the Siege of the Melech HaMashiach, Malchus Beis David with Yehuda and Tamar, and Mamas, the whole future of Klal Yisrael is rooted in this parish over here. As a matter of fact, the Chofetz Chaim says, it says in the Pasuk over here, Eile Toldos Yaakov, Yosef and Shvayas Reishonim. So the Chofetz Chaim teaches, Eile Toldos Yaakov, if you want to know the history of Yaakov, of Klal Yisrael, look at Yosef. Whatever happened to Yosef is exactly what happened to Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. Yosef is the chosen child. Klal Yisrael is the chosen child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yosef is hated by the Rabbin. Klal Yisrael is hated by everybody else. Yosef has dreams, he has chalonis, he has higher endeavors. Klal Yisrael has higher endeavors than the regular Hamayin Am, the regular people in the world. Yosef is taken away, ripped away from his father. Klal Yisrael is ripped away from their father in Eretz Yisrael. They're sent to a faraway land. Yosef has nesiyonos in that faraway land. There's the tests of the culture of Mitzrayim that might be metamehim, and he overcomes it. That is the history of Klal Yisrael. They live in a foreign land with foreign influences, and their trials and tribulations are to overcome them. And finally, Yaakov Avinu comes down to Mitzrayim. Well, Sevovi HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come down to the Golas to take us out of that Golas. So, Eile Toldos Yaakov, if you want to know the Toldos of Yaakov, look at Yosef. That is the upkeich of the entire history of Klal Yisrael. Vayeshev Yaakov, Be'eretz Megureyov, Be'eretz Kenan. Yaakov, he settled in the land of the dwellings of his father, in the land of Canaan. Rashi brings down a famous chazal. Vayeshev Yaakov. Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'shalva. Yaakov Avinu wanted to sit in peace, tranquility. Kofetzol of Rubzoi Shal Yosef. The anger of a Maisev Yosef jumped upon him and took him away from that menucha. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, is it not enough for tzaddikim that they're going to have olam haba? They want over here olam haba that they can't have. All the svarim pechad ask the question: what kind of menucha do you think Yaakov Avinu wanted? You think Yaakov Avinu wanted to relax on a recliner or in an easy chair and smoke a cigarette, or relax in a hammock and read a book? Is that the kind of relaxation that Yaakov Avinu wanted? Chas v'shalom. Yaakov Avinu wanted to serve Hashem Yitoich Menuchas HaNefesh. Yaakov Avinu wanted to work hard. But he wanted to work hard in Ruchnius. He wanted to learn Torah Yitoich Menuchas HaNefesh. That is what he wanted. So why is it so terrible if that's what he wants? And why can't HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant Yaakov Avinu that wish that he should be able to learn Torah Yitoich Menuchas HaNefesh? So all the Svarim, they say, came out the same thing with different Nuschais. And they say that as long as a person is an Olam Hazeh, the word Menuchas HaNefesh is non-existent. Total Menuchas HaNefesh is not shy up down here. Because Olam Hazeh is daima to a ship on shaky waters. There are so many different forces that pull back and forth. Like a ship in the water, there are choppy waters, the ship moves this way and it moves that way, and there's never menucha for that ship. There is no stable ground in Olam Hazeh. There's the Yetzirah, there's the Satan, there are different rechinas that move the world in different directions. In Olam Hazeh, first of all, is not the real world. It is impossible to be able to sit on solid ground with Menuchas HaNefesh. Furthermore, the purpose of Olam Hazeh is to overcome the Nisyonos. Every Nisyon that a person overcomes, every little hardship that he overcomes, in Olam Haba, it means tremendous schar. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world that way. So that if a person has a krecht, he gives a sigh, it's difficult. And afal pi ken, he overcomes that. Fellow's tired at the end of the day, and he overcomes that tiredness to come to a shir to learn. If a fellow finds it hard to give tzedakah, but he strengthens himself to give that tzedakah, every hardship down here means tremendous, tremendous schar in Olam Haba. So this world is not the world of menucha, this is not the world of shalva, this is the world of nisyonis. And the more a person overcomes his nisyonis down here, the more his schar will be in Olam Haba. The Rav Avraham Kalmanovich, the Mirror of Yeshiva, Zechatzadik Levracha, he said over the following. So it was during World War I. And he heard that Rav Chaim Brisker had run away with his family and they were in the city of Minsk. Rav Chaim had just gotten up from Shiva for his Rebbetzin. And Rav Avraham Kalmanovich, he was the Rav, the Rock of a Rav, he had never met Rav Chaim Brisker. But he heard that Rav Chaim was very machbid on the kashrus, he was machbid not to eat chodosh, and he knew that he probably would find it difficult during the war years to find food that suited him kashrus-wise. So he quickly, being a mordek of al-chesed, he quickly came with food and he came to Minsk to bring it to Rav Chaim. So he walked into the house where Rav Chaim Brisker was staying, and he described what the house looked like. The place looked like it was hit by a hurricane. They had just moved in. There were blankets, there were suitcases, blankets all over the floor, clothing here, clothing there, little kids sleeping in different parts of the room. That was Rav Chaim Zeinikluch, with Skarov's children, with his other son-in-law's children. It mamash looked like totally discombobulated. Rav Chaim is dozing off on the couch. In the corner of the room is the Brisker Rav, Rav Velvel, together with Rav Tzvi Glickson, that's Rav Chaim's son-in-law, and they're deeply involved in learning, and they have a notebook, and they're writing down, apparently, a shtickle Torah that Rav Chaim had told them. We take this match, and this is what they're doing. In the middle of his sleep, Rav Chaim wakes up, says, Velvel, he says, the shtickle that I said, you have to take out, because I just thought, it's not so much to say that shot, so erase it from the paper. So he says, it was unbelievable. We took such a hurricane, we took such hardships, Rav Chaim is dozing off, they're involved in learning, he wakes up from his sleep, no, you can't say what you're saying, totally involved in learning as if nothing else was going on. So that's the pshat, that they were able to overcome the shakiness, they were able to overcome the terrible matzav at the time, totally involved in learning. And Rav Chaim Brisker used to train his son, Rav Velvel, and we took any hardship, he used to send him on different missions, you know, to try and take him away from learning. Then he asked him, what were you thinking about, Bishas? And I said, I was thinking about this and this sugi. That's what we were trying to train him. We took the hardships to be holding and learning. And it's like that not only with learning, it's like that with all the mitzvahs. The person has to realize that his purpose down here is to overcome all of the hardships, and that's, when I'll have the opportunity, then I'll learn. When I'll have the opportunity, then I'll give tzedakah. I once heard a Meyudik Chassidish Yavard. Meyudik Yavard. Al Taimur L'Chashe Efne Eshne. Shem Eloi Tipane. Don't say, when I'll have the chance, that's when I'm going to learn. Because you might never get the chance. Don't say when you'll have menucha, when you'll have the opportunity, you'll do it. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch wants you to do it in a matzav of loyti pana. When you don't have the menucha sanefesh, when you don't have the opportunity, that is your avodah down here. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch was telling Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov Leishim B'Shalva, HaKadosh Baruch said, down here, your avodah is to do avodah Hashem Shalemi Teich Shalva. The Chassam Sofer says another pshat in Bikesh Yaakov Leishim B'Shalva. What did Yaakov Avinu want, Taka? Why did he want Shalva? The Chassam Sofer says in Mechudosh Dikei Pshat, he says that it's Yodua that Avraham Avinu is going down to Mitzrayim, that represented going down into Golus, he came back with riches, Yitzchok Avinu was in the land of Ahimelech Melech Gror, the Ramban says that also represented a Golus, that represented Golus Bavel. Yaakov Avinu was Bebeis Lovon, that was another Golus. When he came back, Yaakov Avinu felt that this was the Maisa of his Simon Labonim of the Geulah Shleim. We had already gone through Goliath. So this was the Maisa of a similar Banim of the Gulish Slime. The Gulish Slime didn't come yet, but this is the similar Dover that Lashed Love Shabu Banim Ligvulam. That was his return from the challenge of an Aesir, from the challenge of a Lovan. So Meila, if this is the Maisa of Mashiach, so he already wanted the Maisa of a similar Banim to be Chal over here on the Shalva as well. The Maisa of Mashiach are going to be days of rest. So Yaakov Avinu wanted that the Maisa of a similar Banim, if we went through the Galiyos, and now we went through the coming back to Eretz Yisrael, so now what follows is the Maisa of a similar Banim of the Yimei Shalva. For that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, that's not Shaykh. The Golos is Taka Shaykh. The Maisa of a similar Banim of Golos is Shaykh. But the Geula, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Liba Lepuma Legalia, the Zman is not revealed to anyone, and what it's going to be like is not revealed to anyone. That is the Yisayt of Aram, the Siyan is down here. We could see the Golos, we could see Simonim of the Golos, but to taste the Etzim Geula, that's not Shaykh Ba'ilam Hazah. As I learned in Tachsam Seif. V'hunar, as B'nai Bilha, as B'nai Zilpa, Nishay Aviv. Yosef was a nar, a lad, with the sons of Bilha and the sons of Zilpa, the wives of his father. What does it mean, V'hunar Pasha? He was a young boy, young man. Rashi Taitz is Shaya Oysem Maisa Nairus. He did actions of a nar. He used to comb his hair, used to make sure that his eyes looked nice, used to put on nice begotten. That's a Maisa Nairus. We find the same thing later on. Later on, in Kapitel Amites, it says that when he was in the house of Potiphar, by Yazir Kol Ashaloi Biad Yosef, V'lo Yoda Item Uma, Ki Em Alechem Asheru Eichel, by He Yosef Yifei Toya V'Yifei Mar. Yosef was good looking. So, Rashi, what does one have to do with the other? The fact that Potiphar trusted him with everything, he was Yifei Toya V'Yifei Mar. So, Rashi, because he saw that he was powerful, and he saw that he had ascended to a high position, so he figured, you know, he could start eating and drinking now, making himself look nice, put on new begotten. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, your father is sitting and mourning over you, and he's crying over you, and you're drinking wine, and you're making yourself look nice. Chayecha shani megare b'choyas hadoi, he got Eishes Potiphar after. So again, you see that Yosef made himself look nice. And the question is, how do you imagine that Yosef should do something like that? You're talking about Yosef to Yaakov Avinu, he was the chosen one of the brothers. Eila told us Yaakov Yosef ki ben zikunim huloi. What's that ben zikunim? Shahayu zivei kunim daimel Yaakov. His look, his face looked like Yaakov. That doesn't just mean he had the same blue eyes or he had the same face. It means the spiritual face. The Gemara tells us, Shufra the Yaakov Avinu, me'en Shufra the Adam Arishan. The beauty of Yaakov Avinu is similar to the beauty of Adam Arishan, Kaidam Achet, because the tachlis of the Avish HaKadoshim was to be Mesakin, the Aveira of Adam Arishan, and Yaakov Avinu reached the peak, and his face is Chokuk Tachas Kisei HaKavin. It means the spiritual face of Yosef was done to Yaakov. Ukiben Zikunim, Zesha Kono Chokma, he learned the Torah of Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. So he was Mamish, the chosen son of Yaakov. How do we understand that? Can you imagine the son of Rabbi Yaakov Kanievsky today? So he should be all of a sudden busy polishing himself up and combing his hair and making himself look nice. So the son of Yaakov Avinu should do that. How do we understand that? So Shimon Schwab says, a Mary Dikipshat, in the Sefer Mayim Beis HaShayeva, says, a Nifla Dikipshat. He says, what is a nar? A nar is someone that is excited, you know. Lots of times, a young fellow is impatient. He has to see the thing happen now. The older a person gets, he becomes more settled, he's more mature, he understands that Rome wasn't built in a day, he understands that to get good results, you have to wait a while. You know, a good chicken soup, it has to simmer on the flame for a long time, otherwise it's bland. Right, to get the full taste, to be able to get the full results, you have to give something time. Yosef had nevuah. Yosef had dreams, and the dream said that he is going to be a melech. So Yosef, as a nar, who nar, he already expected it quickly. He started dressing up like a king. A melech gets dressed up in malchus diki begodin. A melech has to take a haircut. He has to look nice for the nation. See, Yosef already started looking malchus dik. In his early youth, that was the Vuhun Nar, not the bad, some combing ones here, is Maisa Nairus. The Maisa Nairus was in the fact that he was already impatient. He wanted to see the Malchus take shape right away. Later on in the tribe, it happened even more. He sees already, he's beginning to go up in position. Take a look. He's beginning to go up in position. He's beginning to be given a high position. Paitifar, who's a chush of a person in power's government, he elevates him. He's in charge of Paitifar's whole estate. Oh, I'm getting up there in Malchus. See, he already wanted it to happen more. So he started pushing. Put on nice clothing. Started eating nicely. Made himself look nice. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Kozman, your father is misabel. This is not the time for that. There'll be times for you to be Melech. And Taka later on, he was the Melech. He was Tsar on all of Mitzrayim. But as long as it doesn't happen, you can't push it. That was the Maisa Nairus on Yosef's part. So it wasn't stabbed that he was putting on flashy clothing for no reason at all. He had Nevuah, and he wanted the Nevuah to take place early. That was the Maisa Nairus of Ezeilan Kushlava. Beautiful chat. How do we understand the whole chain of events that happened over here in this parasha? That Yosef's brothers hated him. Okay, you find always that there's sibling rivalry. But after they kach, that they were down in Lemisa, how's that shaykh? How's it possible to say? You're not talking about over here, stop people. You're talking about here, the Shiftei Kor. So how is it possible that the Shiftei Kor, these holy Jews, should hate their brother so much to be down to give him a demisa? So the Sipurna, Bekitzer, tights it up what happened over here. The Sipurna says, and I'm saying this with the biurim that the Svarim say on the Sipurna, the Shvatim were afraid. Shvatim were very much afraid of Yosef. The Shvatim knew that Avraham Avinu had two sons. One was Yitzchak, one was Yishmael. The legacy of Avram is passed down through Yitzchak. Yishmael was cast aside. Avram, he gave him some promises or some brachas. Yishmael was cast aside. He does not have the Iker Chelek Vanachla in the legacy of Avram. Yitzchak Avinu had two sons, Yaakov and Esav. And Hagan Yitzchak was hoping that both of them would be in the Nachla, and that's why he was Makarad Esav. But the end result was Ki Bi Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazara, from within Yitzchak, but not all of Yitzchak. Yaakov Avinu was the chosen one. Yaakov Avinu received the brachas. The Malach was finally forced to be Ma'idan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Esav is out, Yaakov is in. So the brothers were afraid that Yosef was willingly trying to do the same thing to them. Yosef, he was tattling against the brothers. What is he doing this for? What is he doing this for? They were sure that he was trying to make it that he becomes the Yaakov and he becomes the Yitzchak, and then they're going to be cast aside, and that means to be mad at them, they won't be part of the Yiddish religion, and they're not going to get that Chelek and Olam Habo like regularly Yidden do. They're not going to get the Nachla that faces Klal Yisrael. So they were, Dan Yosef is a Raidiv. He's a Raidiv. If somebody comes to kill you, you wake up and you kill him first. This was spiritual death. He was trying to get them off. But they didn't realize the tmimus of Yosef. Yosef had no such thought. And this is one of the reasons why he's called Yosef HaTzadik. Why did he earn the name Tzadik? The simple reason is because somebody that overcomes the Yisahara for Zlusra immorality in the worst Messiah Shaya is called a Tzadik. But there's another reason over here. The reason is because the brothers looked at him as, number one, he's a mouse and he's a Baal Lashon Hara. Number two, he's saying over these chalomis, he's trying to press himself in front of his father. For that he was given the name Yosef HaTzadik. He was a tzadik all along. He meant it totally lishma. And when he was maybe dibosimra, although the tactic was not, the way he went about it was wrong. There was a time on it. But Afal Pikein, his kavana was l'tayva, was Yosef HaTzadik. It wasn't chas v'sholom to win the favor of his father over his brothers. Same thing with the chalaimus. He was telling them in a vuah. Shimu ha-chalaimah she-chalamti. He meant it seriously. This is the cholam. He was telling them the future. It was like the Torah Sinai. But they took it to mean that this is what he thought about during the day. What a person thinks about during the day, that's why he dreams it at night. And he was telling it to the father to win the father's favor away from them. That is why he's called Yosef HaTzadik. But they, lefi their hasagir, lefi their view, that's the way they were done. If the rule is said and done, how they have a havnir that they could paskin up on Yosef Adin Misa, a dayan, that's megeya b'dover, They hated him. They disliked him. A diner's negeya b'dover. Did they really think that they have the right to paskin on him? It didn't miss it. How could that be? If everything is said and done, good, we see their reasoning. But how do they think such a thing? And the emphasis is, you see that later on, when they saw that they were having problems in Mitzrayim, and they were talking over what did we do wrong, they said, "Aval hashemim anachlo." We are guilty. We didn't listen to our brother when he was begging for rachmanis. The etzem shach, they held they were right. They held they did the right thing. The only thing is, when he begged for rachmanis, they should have felt a little bit of rachmanis for him. How in the world could they really think such a thing? The emphasis is that the answer to this question is really a Rashi. Rashi says over here, that's the yisoid of the whole thing. Vayishalcheihu me'emek chevron. Yaakov Avinu sent Yosef from the valley of Chevron. Rashi asks the Kasha, from the valley of Chevron? Chevron's not in the valley. Chevron's up on a mountain. It's on a hill. What does it mean, me'emek chevron? So Rashi, me'emek, from the depth of Avram Avinu that's buried in Chevron. That is the Brisbane Absorim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, Ger yia zaracha be'eretz lo'ilohem, v'avod Avinu o'isam agam e'yosham. All of the happenings in this parasha are beyond our comprehension. It was all for one reason and one reason only. And that is, because Hashem needed a way of getting the Yidden to come down to Mitzrayim, me'emek chevron. So the Svarim say, that means that everything that happened in this parasha was beyond the koyach habechira of all of these people. That Yaakov favored Yosef. Akidei kachi gave him a ksenas pasim, which brought about the sin of the brothers. Yaakov Avinu was a pikeach. How did he do that? Beyond his bechira. That Yosef was maybe gibosim ro when he knew very well they're going to hate him. That Yosef said over the dreams in front of them, he knew very well he's going to be Yosef sinner. Beyond his bechira. That the brothers sold Yosef. Beyond their bechira. Marshal Mohadar Daima, people drive a car, they're in total control of what they're driving. When a fellow goes into a roller coaster, it's totally out of his control. Yaakov Avinu, the Bnei Yaakov, they were in a roller coaster. Where they went, they had no idea where they're going, they had no control over where they were going. Me'emek Chevron, it came from the depth of Chevron, from the depth of the Brisbane Absurm that was done with Avram Avinu, was beyond their control. If that's the case, that it was beyond their control, so then why do we find that Mechiris Yosef needed a kapara? Generations later, the Asura Harugi and Malchus, that was Mechaper for the Mechir of Yosef. Actually, it was an Aveira on their part. It was beyond their control. If there was no Kayach HaBechira, why was there a need for a Kapara? The Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu was wrong in favoring Yosef over the brothers. Lo'ilam, a person should not favor one son amongst other children. You see what happened with the brothers of Yosef. What do you mean? It was beyond Yaakov's control? What's the pshat? So Rav Isaac Sher, in the Sefer Lekas Sichus Musar, he says the following. Although everything here was orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was beyond their Bechira, but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something, he doesn't do it out of the blue. It was based on little nuances in the characters of the people involved. So Enoch Inami, the fact that the brothers sold Yosef, and the fact that they passed on him, that was beyond their control. But it was based on sinna that they had in their heart to Yosef. There was a bit of tinna, there was a bit of jealousy that they had against Yosef. So it goes under the category of Megalgul and Chayvali Dechayim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Golas and it came about orchestrated in this manner, it was based on the little bit of sinna that they had in their heart, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu just made it be magnified. If Yaakov Avinu's love for Yosef, if it caused him to favor him amongst the Bonim and to buy him a Ksenas Pasim and to favor him like that, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu magnified it in order to bring about this Maisa. But it was based on a little bit of a mistake that Yaakov Avinu favored Yosef over the other brothers, and he didn't conceal it totally. So all HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was he magnified it all the way. But that's the way to tighten up a little bit the Ishtalshalus Advarim. How do we tighten up what happened over here with the brothers? Chazal tell us, Roy Hoya Yaakov Avinu Leirid B'Shalshalois Shel Barza. Because of the Brisbane Absorim, because the Golos was Nigzar on Yaakov Avinu and his children, it was fit that Yaakov Avinu would be taken in chains, because Yaakov Avinu would never willingly go down to Mitzrayim. So it was fit that Yaakov Avinu and Menelah his children should be slept down in chains. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make it pleasant for him, so he did it in this oifen. He took Yosef away from him, brought him down to Mitzrayim. So when it finally came down to go down to Mitzrayim, Yaakov would go down willingly. Rav Nebenzol, the chief rav of Yerushalayim, the old city of Yerushalayim, wonderful sefer on Chumash. Rav Nebenzol asks a question: if you were to ask Yaakov Avinu, would you rather go down to Mitzrayim in chains, or lose your son for 22 years? 22 years he mourned over Yosef. He cried over Yosef. Ela told us Yaakov Yosef, Nafshi Kshur B'Nafshi, it was ripped away from him. The tsar that he suffered. Not only did he suffer that tsar, but he lost his Ruach HaKodesh. If somebody's Ba'atzvah, the Ruach HaKodesh leaves him. Yitzchak Avinu cried over Yaakov. Yitzchak Avinu knew everything that was happening. And it was a terrible tsar for Yitzchak. So if you were to ask Yaakov Avinu, what would you rather? Would you rather go down to Mitzrayim and change, which will take like, you know, a couple of days or whatever? Or would you rather give up those 22 years of being with your beloved Yosef and saving yourself the aggravation and saving yourself, having Ruach HaKodesh, saving your father the aggravation? What do you think Yaakov Avinu would have picked? No doubt he would have picked going down to Mitzrayim and change. So what's the pshat in this Chazal that all of this was done to save Yaakov the aggravation of Shal Shaloi Shal Barzo? Rav Nebenzol says a mayu de kipshat. Rav Nebenzol says name. Mashkofer Rishon, it seems like, you know, the 22 years of being away from Yosef is definitely much, much worse. No. Yaakov Avinu, who was the Ish HaMachshava, who was the man of vision, he most definitely would have favored that than going down to Mitzrayim with chains. Why? Going down to Mitzrayim in chains would have been so degrading to Yaakov Avinu, and so degrading to the Shvatim, that they would have taken upon themselves a slave mentality, and then they would have gone down to Mitzrayim broken, and then they wouldn't be able to withstand the pressures of the Golus. The only way that they'd be able to withstand the pressures of Mitzrayim, the tremendous Kayach HaTumah there, is going down with pride, with their head high. We are B'nai Melachim, we are a chosen nation, and Yosef in Mitzrayim, he got put up to Malchus, and Yosef already paved the way. They should be able to make it in Mitzrayim. But had they been taken down to Mitzrayim in chains with Yosef, and the way would not have been paved, and they were in a foreign land, there's nothing to hold their heads up with, then they would have become broken in the goals, and they wouldn't be able to withstand the pressures. The tefillah that we say every day is V'seilichenu mehera koinemius la'artzenu. Rabbeinu Shlomo, bring us quickly standing upright to our land. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should not become bent over in the Golus. Let us maintain our kuma. Let us maintain our stature in the Golus. We're proud Yidden. We know that we're different. We've been given a tremendous legacy. Let us not become broken in Golus. By the time Mashiach comes, we should still remain upright. And that is what Yaakov Avinu would rather have wanted than Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He would rather do it this way, Hagamitz, with all the hardships, but this would save them the spiritual hardships later on. Plus, it allowed Yosef to pave the way. To pave the way. He even got a good shame in Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim that had Bris Milah. And because of that, they weakened their taiva. They also had a statistical shaykhus to a little bit of Ruchnius. The fact that all of their lands were switched around, I'd rather, it was the Mitzrayim that lost their comfort in Mitzrayim. This was all done to prepare Klali, to prepare Mitzrayim for Klali Yisrael to be able to go there. Had Yaakov had Yosef with them, and he would have gone down to Shal Shalai Shal Barzel, then this would not have been possible. I saw a cute shot for the Vilna Goyim. I never saw it before. Very cute shot. It's a fascinating word. When Yosef was in jail, it says, "Ein sar beis hasoyar roye es kol meuma biyadei." The fellow in charge of the prison, he did not check out anything in Yosef's hands. He so trusted Yosef with everything, he did not look at anything that he did. Basha Hashem itoy, basha hu oisa Hashem matzliach. Hashem was with him, and whatever he did, Hashem made him be matzliach. What is the lashon in Sarbei Sasayer? Roya es homu mebiyadei. The simple pshat is that he didn't bother investigating whatever he did. He let him do whatever he did. It's a fascinating pshat from the Vilna Gaon based on a ma'isa shahaya. A Talmud of the Vilna Gaon was once walking in the street. He sees a man there, and the man tells him, "Go to the Vilna Gaon and tell him that I know exactly what he's doing right now." And he told him everything that the Vilna Gaon was doing. He started telling things about the future and secret things that, you know, about people that nobody could have possibly known. This Talmud gets all shaken up. And he runs to the Gaon and he tells him what this fellow had said. So Vilna Gaon said, "Tell me, was he holding a stick while he was saying this?" She says, "Yeah." He said, "Go take the stick away from him and tell, see if he's able to do the same thing." So he took the stick away from him, and the guy was not able to do a thing. And he came back and told the Vilna Gaon. He says, "That kishuf, that's kishuf. That was witchcraft. That kishuf, even a 4-year-old child in Mitzrayim was able to do." And there's a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ami be'etzer yishal." It's a pasuk in Hosea, Kapitel Dalet. "Ami be'etzer yishal." My nation, they started asking their wood for questions. And its stick would tell them the future. They were also Isaac in this kishuf. That's the ma'aseh with the Vilna Gaon. So the Vilna Gaon teaches this into the pasuk over here. Originally, the Sarbei Sasayer, when he saw Yosef being matzliach, he thought it was all day kishuf. But then, in Sarbei Sasayer, Royes Komu Umabiyoga, he didn't see a stick in his hand. Memela couldn't be with kishuf. Memela, Asher, Asher Hashem Itay, Asher Ruois Hashem Matzliach. So that was a riot to him that it wasn't through kishuf. It was managed through Hashem, and Memela, he found favor in the eyes of Yosef. Have a good Shabbos, everybody. In the eyes of the Sarbei Sasayer. Shabbos.